gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. Oh, yes. Sorry, my mistake. Good evening, Councilwoman. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. We're just starting. Actually, I started and was stopped, and now I'm calling you. Okay.
Okay.
Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bona.
Here.
Mr. Impelzeri.
Here.
Ms. Lapode.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Tipton.
Here.
Mayor.
Here. A couple of quick matters. First, as you probably know, the committee report from the Environmental Emergency Services Committee was issued over the weekend. We've distributed it. We are still waiting. I understand there is going to be a dissenting report or opinion from Mr. Clark, which we are awaiting. I just want to take a quick moment. We'll do it more formally later, but to thank the committee members for putting in a tremendous amount of work from the beginning of January through. I wonder if that's a sign. Through this weekend. Starting in particular with Alan Malik, who chaired the committee, our two council members, Michael Tipton and Jill Lapode, who put in a tremendous amount of work. And then we had the various people who represented the various groups. Obviously, Mr. Clark, thank you. For fire, it was John Lenart and April Sook at various times. For first aid, it was Jack Rent and Mark Connors. The office team, Kelly, Deborah Thomas, and Anna DeBevick did an incredible amount of work, not only preparing for the meetings, but getting information together. We have today a couple of things happened. We have a sinkhole, as you've probably noticed, down at the post office. It looks like a little 10 to 12 inch hole, but underneath it's a very wide hole. So we may be cutting off part of the parking lot in the next week. What happens is as the stormwater comes through the break in the pipe, it can't go up because there's asphalt. It wipes out all the dirt underneath, and then the asphalt collapses, which is what's starting to happen. So if you look at that hole from an angle, you'll see that you can see quite a ways back. We had a first aid call over the weekend. The Roosevelt First Aid Squad was not able to answer the call, which is the first time in a long time. As a general rule, they are first on the scene and very quickly. Once again, it took 45 minutes for any other town to respond. So we had a resident who was in severe distress, and she had to wait 45 minutes because that's how long it takes our surrounding towns to respond at this point. So one, that's a warning. And the second is, to the extent that members of the first aid squad are here, and I see at least one, thank you, because you guys respond very quickly, 99% of the time, and I think all the time when one of you is in town. Also, thank you to Kelly, who ended up driving on both of those calls today. So I'm going to try to keep this. I know that at the end we put on the report of the Emergency Services Committee. I'm going to try to keep that particular conversation short. because we're trying to shorten the meeting. I know we have some people who have to leave, but we have scheduled meetings starting on Thursday on a regular basis so that we can get through this. We have a statutory timeline that we have to meet if we're going to take various actions, such as getting votes on the in the general election. So we're going to start on Thursday. I'd also like to recognize that today is Councilwoman Malkin's birthday. So happy birthday. And
happy birthday.
Many more.
Thank you. I would, oh my God. actually, Mayor, I'd also like to say that I've gotten quite a few calls from residents who are very anxious to watch the convention tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were asking that the meeting be kept as short as possible because it's a pretty important night.
Sure.
In Democratic politics.
I'm going to try as hard as I can because I also would like to see. Okay, so let's start with the consent agenda. Do we have any public comments on the consent agenda or any questions that we can answer about what the items on the consent agenda? Actually, very quickly, authorizing refund for summer camp morning care. We have a summer camp. We were setting up morning care. We took some money. We canceled the morning care. And we cannot return money without doing a resolution. I think it's $75, mm-hmm. $75. The emergency temporary appropriations is moving funds between various parts of our budget. So when we come up, we have something like the sinkhole, where we have to move funds from somewhere else over to the sinkhole, not literally. That's what's covered in there. And then we have our personnel policies and procedures manual, which is required by JIF, which is the Joint Insurance Fund. They require that we have a manual, that it be in a specific form, and that we adopt it by resolution. And last, we have, of course, payment of bills. So are there any questions or comments from the audience on the consent agenda? There being none, can I have a motion?
No, Joe does. Joe does.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
Two quick questions. Joe Trammell, Pine Drive. The emergency temporary appropriations, how much?
Sure.
It's about $30,000. We do this every meeting or every month until we have the final budget.
So this month, $30,000?
Pardon?
This month, $30,000.
Yeah, it gets added to the budget. Yeah.
Added to the budget or moved within the budget?
It's added to the temporary budget and then becomes part of the final budget upon adoption.
Okay.
But New Jersey will have to operate under a temporary budget, so you have budget costs formally adopted.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I've never had a chance to meet you. You are?
George Lang.
George Lang, CFO.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, and on the handbook, who writes the handbook?
Our attorney.
The handbook, I had some hand in the handbook, but a lot of the handbook came from an old version of the borough's handbook, as well as guidance from the insurance carrier as to what it expected in the handbook.
Okay. When might us civilians be able to see that?
Oh,
anytime you want.
Anytime.
Once we adopt it, it's a public document. You can.
Okay.
Anytime you want.
Yeah.
Online or have to go here? Or?
Well, right now it's here. I'm not sure we decide whether to put it online, but there's no reason we couldn't.
Okay, cool. I'm just trying to be quick, so thank you.
Do I have a motion?
Move the consent agenda.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Bono?
Aye.
Mr. Impelzare?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Balkin?
Aye.
Mr. Hickman?
Aye.
And since you asked my oversight, we have our tax collector, Sal. George Lang, who is our chief financial officer. Jerry Stankiewicz, who represents our auditor. We now move to ordinances. We have pulled from the list Ordinance 16-014, which is conveying a portion of Witches Hollow to the county. The reason we pulled it is not because there's anything wrong with it, but because I kept forgetting we had a special meeting and you need 10 days between the meetings and a certain number of days of notice. Our last meeting was last Tuesday, so it's only been 6 days, so we pulled it. Would anybody like to move 16-012 for second reading and public hearing?
I'll move ordinance 16-012, ordinance amending ordinance 16-005, prohibiting rentals in portions of residential structures in all residential districts for durations of less than 30 days.
Second.
So 16-012. We passed an ordinance that prohibited people from renting houses for in town for less than 30 days, a la a hotel, Airbnb, or flophouse. And after passing it, we realized we got a suggestion from the planning board that we include not only rentals of entire houses, but rentals of portions of houses. This ordinance is intended to correct that oversight. So I now open it up for a public hearing. Does anybody in the public have questions or comments about 16-012? There being none? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Markham.
Can you come up to the microphone, please?
Actually, Mayor Markham, sorry.
So renting portions of a house for more than 30 days is perfectly legal?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
I want to point out one thing, though. If you rent more than one room, then you have to register as a boarding house under state law. So we're really talking about renting one room, which would not then come under the boarding house.
But renting is not the same thing as occupying.
Renting is not the same thing as. Yeah. Okay. Which your point being, for example,
you rent it for 30 days for one person.
Right.
And if they can be there for one day, that's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Sure. Just that you're not renting it to someone else the next day.
Okay.
You're running a hotel. Sure.
It's an anti-Airbnb ordinance.
Right. They choose to be there. That's their business. Right.
Ms.
Palmer?
Aye.
Mr. Ampelzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lafati?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickner?
Aye.
Would anybody like to introduce ordinance 16-013 on first reading? Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion either to open it for discussion or make it up? Okay.
Second.
All right. So the county asked us to convey all of which is hollow, which is basically the extension of Oscar Drive, to the county. We came back and we said, well, we'll convey a lot of it, but we're going to keep the last 935 feet because we don't want you building a road through there. Their response is, well, we would never do that. Our response is, thank you very much. We then said we will give you an easement for a path across that land, so that people who are in the park and are on the Witches Hollow Park path for the county can get out that way. The original documents they sent us provided for paths in the width of either 8 or 10 feet. They could be paved, used for a variety of purposes. We went back and said no. We negotiated with them. They offered basically to say, okay, well, we'll try to keep it as I think we got them to agree permeable surface, or we were going to go back on permeable surface, and that it could only be used for emergency vehicles and maintenance vehicles. There has been a strong feeling that that's not what we agreed to and not what we wanted. We were going to go back and talk to them. They sent us another email saying, gosh, we were wrong. We need 12 feet, not 8 or 10 feet.
14
feet.
2 feet.
On either side of the buffer.
As I recall.
Okay, so that makes it somewhat worse. In our last discussion of this, the council was split between saying, no, we're not going to give you anything, and going back with conditions. And I had asked that it be tabled and that everybody go back and think about it and see if they changed their mind in either way or had additional thoughts. So.
But now we have additional information from them that
yes.
they want even more.
Yeah, they're saying that the that state law, or they are required by law to have 12-foot usage and 2 feet on either side, as you just pointed out.
Okay.
So I would like either a motion to introduce the ordinance as it stands, or a resolution to table it, or or a motion to decline to convey any land, so that we have some idea of what to say to the county when we go back to talk to them.
Move to decline the county's request for the Oscar Drive.
For the 935 feet.
For the easement,
for the
929 feet.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to call a roll on this.
Ms. Donna?
Just so I'm clear what I'm voting on.
Well,
if you vote
yes, we are going to go back to the county and say, sorry, you can't have that land.
Okay.
You can't have the easement. Correct.
Right.
With the
you can't have
right.
the easement.
You
can't use that land.
Correct.
Mr. Impelizzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Nay.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickner?
Aye.
Thank you, folks. Okay, we now have the public hearing, the introduction. Well, I think we want to start with the introduction to amend the budget.
We can do the public hearing first on the introduced budget, and then we can do the budget.
Okay. All right. So let's open the public hearing on the 2016 municipal budget. Do I have a motion?
Move the 2016 municipal budget.
Thank you.
Yes, second.
Open the public. We now open the public here.
Ask that you turn a microphone towards the gentleman over here, and that he.
Does anybody in the public have questions or comments about the municipal budget? Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Here.
Yes. Yeah, they're also on the there on the website. Do we have copies over there, or would you take copies?
Yes, there are also copies, hard copies here.
Okay.
I just want to say I think we should have one.
Thank you.
I second.
Are you sure
that we have copies
over there?
Yeah.
Okay, George, I had copies. Okay. Right. Yes. Please.
Okay.
Honey, could you come to the, give your name, address, and your comments? Thank you. That way they can get it off the tape.
Honey Roskam, Rosskam, 4 Cedar Court, Roosevelt, New Jersey. And I'm curious about such a large increase, $24,902 in salaries and wages for general government, as well as an increase of $7,000 for legal expenses.
Peggy, George?
Yeah. The general administration increase, last year, mid-year, there was a full-time employee hired, so now the budget reflects a full year of that salary.
Just to note, this is the salary for 2016.
Yeah.
So we're approving funds already spent in the wonderful method of the state.
And the engineering expenses, $7,000?
Just reflecting current expenses of what's been spent.
So that would include...
What would that include?
That would include the engineer coming out for things...
I think she's talking about legal.
It's only legal.
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 You're talking
about
legal?
Engineering is
yeah.
flat.
Legal
yeah.
is just representing increased legal expenses compared to last year and this year. I believe last year we might have even transferred money in. So this is just a projection of what legal could be this year.
So this is a projection?
Yeah, based on what we've done so far.
And do
because
we get to vote on whether
higher.
We want to...
They are higher this year.
What?
Well, the legal fees have increased this year.
Over last year.
Yeah. Over last year.
Okay.
So
these are projected with the permission of the voters, correct?
No.
No, there's no, there's no referendum on the budget.
Huh. Okay.
So the budget is subject to various caps, 2% cap, et cetera. But these are basically amounts that we've already spent. I mean, if you want to ask about a particular one, it'd be more than.
We haven't spent. I mean, you're projecting for next year.
This year.
This is 2016. This year.
I'm sorry.
So we took this. We take the 7 months that we've done so far, and then project out
the remainder. Right.
But the 7 months that we've done so far is significantly higher than other years. Where the budget is much higher than in other years.
Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I just wanted to follow up on some questions Ani asked, which is the increase of the salary of $24,000. Well, how many people work in the office full-time, part-time?
4.
And how many full-time?
1. Well, kind of like 2, I guess.
2, yeah.
Yeah. There was a position last year that was made full-time midway in the year, so this reflects the full year salary.
What position is that?
Purchasing agent and records retention officer.
Those are both full time?
Same person.
Oh. Okay. And the legal fees, we haven't had any litigation. Why are we paying $100,000 a year in legal fees?
There's been some litigation. There's been an alcoholic beverage control license litigation in the Office of Administrative Law. There's also a pending litigation in the New Jersey Superior Court, an appeal from the municipal court in terms of a violation of zoning and rental. But there's also been significant work on redevelopment, land transfers, both the county one we were talking about now, and the one that's subject to the Green Acres restrictions. Also, work on the cemetery ordinance, research regarding the cemetery ordinance and constitutionality as to that, and several others, which I can.
There's emergency services stuff.
Daily
What's
stuff.
The hourly rate?
$150 an hour.
For everything?
For everything.
Okay. I have some questions about the insurance. Do we insure the fire trucks?
Yeah.
How
we
much
insure all of our vehicles.
Can you break down what that insurance is going towards by vehicle liability insurance?
Liability is a separate line.
Well, what is it going toward? Like, in other words, what adds up to $14,000 for what?
Like, sold the borough property, vehicles,
buildings, grounds,
auto,
lawnmowers.
But I mean,
trucks.
Do you have a breakdown of what, how much insurance is for each fire truck, each?
It's through the joint insurance fund. I don't think they break it down per vehicle.
The JIFs don't itemize.
Yeah.
Just get a bill.
Really?
Based on your size and your share of the overall fund.
And historically, the JIF insurance program has always been a good deal for the borough, and we always get rebates back every year, which goes into helps rebuild our surplus.
So you couldn't tell then how much it goes up if we get another fire truck?
I don't think it varies.
No, I don't think it. I mean, maybe the following year there would be a slight increase if there's more vehicles, but I don't.
It's a big pool of towns, and you don't get a specific breakdown by vehicle of what it's charging, like your home or your business.
Oh.
Okay, it's a big pool of interest of towns, and we get an allocated share.
Okay. What does the $20,000 for the fire department include then?
I would say equipment, training,
maintenance, repair of the building,
maintaining equipment,
facilities, gear, you know, like the stuff they wear.
How about the
the new place with that, whatever that is out there, building?
It's called a trailer, and it is included in that, yes.
It's included in the 20?
Sure.
Is that why it went up?
I think it went up because there were a variety of expenses over the last year which are more than the prior year. So they inspect every year or every other year they have to have equipment inspected. That's required by law. As the gear that they wear, the outfits that they wear, reach a certain age or a certain condition, they have to be replaced. As the oxygen tanks either age out or are used, they have to be refilled. So it depends on how many calls they went on, what types of calls, what equipment they used. It's like an ambulance. If they go into a gunshot wound, they're going to use lots of bandages. If they go to a cardiac, they may use more needles. So it varies by what the response was.
Okay, I see. On the water and sewer budget, mm-hmm. it says $145,000, $871 for salaries. How many people's salaries does that include?
It's three. Three, but then some people are split. There's a couple of positions that are split where part of the cost is allocated to water sewer. Historically, it's always been that way. You have a full-time water sewer operator. You have the weekend operators. There's only one full-time, rest of everybody else is part-time.
So if we wanted a breakdown of all what went in to get these totals for each of these items, is that available?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, these are the line items, but yeah, I mean, as far as like sub-accounts, sure.
In other words, what it adds up to a certain figure, but there was something that went in there. You just said different salaries, so that's something we could get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that. No.
All right. Yeah. How
I
would
mean, all of our the salary that we pay to our water sewer operator is public information. The amount that we pay to our part-time George the sewer or to Greg Boziel is all available.
And the salaries include overtime?
Depends on the person, depends on what they were working on, depends on the week.
But I mean, if we asked for those, it would include overtime, the number,
it
whatever.
It would include the total amount that we paid them, yeah.
That you paid, okay, all right.
Other questions or comments from the public? Mr. Trammell.
Again, Joe Trammell, Pine Drive. I'll try to be quick because I have a few questions about the budget. All right. So we have a reserve this year from last year's budget, $180,000, I think it is.
No, that's reserve for uncollected taxes.
Right.
That's okay. Just the because we don't collect 100% of our taxes in the current year. Usually over the two-year period we do. But the school board and the county, we have to pay them 100% of their tax levies.
Okay.
So there's a reserve in case the tax collections go down or up. And that rolls right back in. We just keep moving forward.
Okay.
But that's because we don't collect 100% during the calendar year.
Okay, so you don't collect 100%, but there is a surplus for the town of the balance at the end of 2015 was $805,000, I believe, it's on page 39 of the budget.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so if $180,000 was budgeted for delinquent taxes, and in 2015 there was $53,000 in delinquent taxes, then the difference is...
Well, that's two different things. Because the $53,000 represents prior year taxes that you're collecting in the current year.
Right.
The $180,000 is related to the current year. See, if we have if the tax collections drop off in a given year, it could have a devastating effect on a budget of this size.
Right. So you
so you want to budget conservatively in every respect.
Right. So you over budget what the.
Well, not over budget. You're conservative. Because don't forget, we're budgeting $391,000 of our surplus. Now, to keep everything the same, you pretty much want to have a budget that's going to generate somewhere along those lines, because you can't keep appropriating $300,000 and making back $100,000. So you have to be conservative in your revenue estimates, because the only two ways you make your money back is any money left in the budget or if your revenues come in a little higher than what you project. You never want to push your revenues to the max. That would be
every time you see one of those abandoned houses, that's a house that's not paying taxes.
Well, if the house isn't paying tax, you can appropriate the house for the town, correct?
It's a lengthy process.
So yeah. It's a very lengthy, expensive process.
I understand.
And we end up with a broken down house that we then have to fix up and sell.
Or you just sell it.
What happens is if somebody doesn't pay the taxes, eventually it will go up to a tax lien sale. At that point, the borough will recover the money. But it may, for the immediate purposes, you don't have the money right away. So they have to take. So you have to make sure because the money has to be available when you need it. So that's why.
So then I guess my question is, out of that $180,000,
that reserve in there for that reason.
Out of that $180,000, how much do you think will get spent? Or how much will come back to us from unpaid taxes?
Well, if we maintain our tax collection percentage, the $180,000 comes back each year. It'll come back. If our percentage of collection drops, not as much is going to come back into surplus.
So there is $180,000 due into the budget? Or that's just a conservative
figure? The reserve for uncollected taxes is really a mechanism to help balance the municipal budgets. What's a better way to explain it?
You have to bill X to collect Z. And the statute only allows you to go up to a certain percentage. In building this calculation, you can't exceed the prior year collections. So we have to bill $180,000 more to collect, let's say, $1 million, because no matter what happens, we still have to pay the school board and we still have to pay the county. We keep whatever's left after that. So we got to bill more to collect
less.
Keep
whatever's left after that.
Yeah. And if there's a shortfall, like George said, we got to be, then we take it.
That's the
shortfall.
Right.
Okay. Then
and
that's
that money
point.
Gets recycled back into the following year. But anyway.
It goes into the general fund.
Right. And then it gets appropriated in the following year. Like I said, we have $391,000 being appropriated this year.
All right, so that's that issue. All right, second issue would be that $391,000 is going to be the surplus after, and again, this shows up on page 39 as a surplus, and the surplus balance remaining becomes $414,000.
Correct.
On page 39.
Correct.
So after the delinquent taxes have been paid out of this fund and other funds, then we have a surplus from 2015 of $414,000.
Right.
And the current budget.
Right. Now, if you pushed all your revenues and you had $400,000 in surplus left, the following year you'd only have $400,000 to use in your budget where you used $391,000 this year. The following year you're going to have no surplus. You're going to have a devastating effect on your budget.
Well,
so you have to be careful.
The surplus anticipated for this year's budget.
Yeah.
From the allocated, apparently.
Right. This is what we're using out of our money to balance the budget.
Right.
Right.
Then we
if revenues come in higher, then we don't use 391. We use a lower.
And we have
number.
An anticipated surplus of 391 for the 16 budget.
We're anticipating with this budget that $391,000 is needed to balance the budget. If our tax collections come in, let's say $100,000 higher, well, now we don't. That's $100,000 less we need. We don't need $391,000. Now we need $291,000. It depends on the revenues. That's just an estimate of what is the balance.
Right.
And
but
then it depends
the
how you do.
But the estimate is that we're going to have an additional $390,000.
No, that's not correct. We're appropriating $391,000, and hopefully the budget generates something close to that, so you still maintain your surplus balance. Well, also, you need your surplus balance for cash flow.
I'm just a civilian, so I don't
know.
Really
no, I know.
I mean,
it's tough.
But it's like a profits and balance sheet. They have they have to zero out.
It's easier to explain sitting down and looking at it on paper, but it's harder to explain us talking back and forth.
And when the municipal budgeting, you can't look at 1 year. You have to go 2 or 3 years.
Well, if we go 2 or 3 years back, there's been a surplus every year.
Yeah, and that's good.
Correct.
And that goes into the
following
year.
And that shows some foresight. You have to always think. You know, like we're halfway through the year now.
And within that surplus, then you take the additional monies that you might have and you do the you did at the beginning of the meeting here. You used it for emergency expenditures and whatnot.
In a roundabout way.
It's the money that you have.
Yeah.
In business, I might have called it a slush fund in my business. I've got profit that I've, so it's there. Okay. The government does. Right.
And what the borough's been trying to do is maintain the tax rate, and they have probably for at least 6-7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you'll have additional monies and can still maintain the tax rate, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Testament to the council. Okay, now I'm going to go on to the water and sewer. They have a surplus also. That surplus is
$61,000.
So the water and sewer looks like for the next 3 years, and this is Jill. Can you hear me, Jill?
You have to speak up for it.
Can you hear me, Jill?
Yeah.
Okay. So it looks like we need for improvements $1,128,000 for these.
I'm having a lot of difficulty hearing.
Yeah, it's because.
Turn that around.
If you want to ask her a question, please speak up loudly.
I'll
or
try
I can
to
repeat it.
I'll try to speak up, Jill. Looks like for the upcoming water and sewer budget, we have $1,128,000. Okay, can you hear me now, Jill?
Let's just project
that. Okay.
It's not Verizon.
All right, yeah. So it seems like for the calendar year 2016, we're going to need to appropriate $1,128,000 for water and sewer improvements and $210,000 for repairs of the water tower.
What you're looking at is a three-year capital budget plan, which is non-binding. It's really just... a possible
I'm just
plan.
Trying to
it's only really the current year we'd be looking at. And that's not the current year. That's over 3 years.
That's over 3 years.
Yeah.
I understand.
Right. And that's nothing binding at all. And that it could be nothing. It could be a lot less than that.
Okay. So I guess as a civilian, as a taxpayer, what I'm trying to figure out is what are the probabilities this next 3 years of my taxes going up and about how much?
Is a water sewer user rate. That's different.
Well, that's okay. For my water and sewer rate, it looks like from this, they'll go up $50 every billing cycle, or $300 a year.
No, okay.
If it is this three-year plan here.
All right, but what we're talking about is, so we've completed the, and mostly thanks to Councilwoman Lapote, we've completed the water plan. We're now looking at the work that needs to be done on the sewer plant. There's a very wide, I just had this discussion the other day, about the ability to project what it's going to cost. There's a very wide range of things that can be done, right? So if the legislation we're hoping for passes, there's the possibility of selling the plant and bringing the rates down. If it doesn't pass, it's a discussion that we may not even have, and it may alter the amount of money we spend over time. In other words, do you fix all of this at once? Do you fix it over time? So this is, I think, unless Jill corrects me, this is pretty much a guesstimate. I wouldn't call it a WAG, but we're not really sure where we're going with it at this point. So the answer is we don't know. Jill, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so you're correct, Jeff. We have not made a decision on how or when or which repairs are most urgent at the sewage treatment plant, other than to fix things that absolutely broke, like the clarifier shaft in the secondary settling tank. But we have our new engineers working on a plan. Their idea is that they will combine a number of repairs that have to be done that we'll apply to NJEIP for a loan, hopefully with some principal forgiveness, so that the amount of money that we borrow will be that we're on the hook for paying back will be low, and that we'll get a good interest rate. They are also working to include their engineering fees into the amount that we borrow from NJEIP.
Okay, can I? I just don't want my 5 minutes to run out.
A meeting that we have not had where they aggregate everything and try and figure out how we're going to phase in the repairs. What they have provided, and which I think Joe was at the meeting where they presented all the things that are wrong with the sewage treatment plant, you know, they have really done a good assessment of where the plant is in terms of its operation. Some of what we want to do is when we make the repairs to the sewage treatment plant, we want to make it run more efficiently so that we will not have to buy as much chemical and add as much chemical in the water treatment, and in fact we'll rely on bacteria to digest the carbonaceous material that is in the sewage. And that would mean that if we can have efficient settling, we could possibly not have to chlorinate the effluent. We could use an ultraviolet kind of disinfection, which would be much more efficient. And if we don't chlorinate, then we don't have to dechlorinate, so that's yet another chemical we don't have to add. There are a lot of advantages to making the repairs to the sewage treatment plant in terms of lower operating costs later.
I think Joe wants to say something.
I just want to say one quick thing.
Yes, sir.
What you see on that page is not that $500,000 or $100,000, whatever it is, that doesn't mean it's in that budget that year. That's the project that would be approved possibly in that year, and it's funded over 10, 20, 30 years. It's not just that goes in that budget. So you wouldn't see $500,000 added to the budget that year.
Right.
It gets paid over. It's a capital project that would be paid over 3 years.
The way it shows in here, it's like a 3-year.
No, but it wouldn't be paid over 3 years. It'd probably be paid over 15, 20 years.
Okay, so
I just want to let you know.
If you remember when we do this, Jill was referring to, I'm sorry, Councilwoman Lapote was referring to the NJEIT loans. The NJEIT loans are essentially grants, so if we borrow $100,000, we pay back $50,000 over 20 years, and we pay interest on $25,000 over the 20 years.
Okay, again, as a layman and a civilian and a taxpayer, you know, I would need this presented to me kind of in simpler terms so I could know what my taxes are going to be compared to what they are now. I mean, my taxes have been up 20% over the past 5 years.
Your taxes haven't gone up in the last 10 years from the municipality. Your school may have, your county may have, your federal government may have, your municipal taxes
haven't
gone up.
It's when I get tax from the tax collector, that's what I consider tax. So my taxes are up 20% over the past 5 years.
We like to control the municipal portion here, though.
The municipal portion hasn't.
And it's what I pay, and it says property tax.
Okay,
that's what I know.
But if the county increases your tax rate, our tax rate, there's nothing we can do about that.
I'm just a civilian, and I look at the paperwork, and this is what I write, property tax. I send it to you guys. That's what I know. Okay. And if it's going to be a simpler way for me to assess it, that would be nice. Okay, so I guess that's my point. It seems like to fix the water and sewer plant, that rate will go up, probably. Okay. And it seems like if we're going to go into this emergency services building, taxes will probably go up or something like that. So, as a civilian, as a taxpayer, I'm just curious about how much when I write my water and sewer bill and when I write my property tax bill out, about how much over the next 10 years, and you guys are up there, you know what's going on, you can almost guesstimate. So when I was in business, I wanted the people I worked for and the people that worked for me to give me the bad news first and then to give me the good news.
May I make a suggestion? You said you didn't want to exceed your 5 minutes.
My 5 minutes is up.
No,
so that's what I'm asking. Can you give us the bad
Joe,
news at some
I
point?
I believe you're actually at about 10 or 15 minutes.
I have not cut you off.
No, okay. I'm making a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is nobody who's at this table can give you a projection of what's going to happen to your taxes over the next 10 years, particularly if what your assessment of your taxes is not what the municipality, not what we're charging you, but not what we're all charging you. Remember when we do the water sewer, okay? Our water sewer system is, forgive me for saying this for any Trump supporters, but our water sewer system is a socialist system. We figure out what it costs to run it, and we divide it among the ratepayers. Period.
Understood.
Okay?
Yep.
There's no profit. There's no whatever. Okay?
Understood.
If what you're saying is you want to know what your check is going to be, and I can tell you the county will raise your taxes, the state will raise your taxes, the feds will raise your taxes. I don't know how much. I don't think anybody in this room knows how much. I don't think even they know how much. So your taxes will go up. Your municipal taxes have stayed stable for 10 years while everything else has gone up around you. So we have certainly done our best to keep it level.
Okay. I guess my point is we see that we need to do repairs on the water and sewer plant. That's local. That's not federal, state, or whatever.
Right.
We also know we're probably going to do something about an emergency services building.
Right.
Again, that's local. It's not federal, state, or whatever. So you do have some idea. And
there's,
I'm just like, you know.
There is a 20-page, 23-page report from the Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
I have that.
It
and I've yet to read it. I just downloaded it yesterday. It was over too much to read, budget, and that all in one day.
Okay.
So I hope you give these guys
more
time.
It has, I believe, at least 8 different suggestions. Those of you who are of the faith know that when I read it, my first thought was Dayenu. Okay? Each one, another one, another one.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different prices. They all have different rates. People in town are going to have to decide which one they want.
That's
we
my
can't
point,
decide
Jeff.
That, so I can't tell you.
That's,
I have no way
that's
of
my
you.
Point. We will probably have to pay more taxes, maybe a little less, maybe a little bit more, but it's written that we're probably going to pay more water and sewer, and we're probably going to pay more taxes.
Okay. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Okay.
Anybody else in the public have any questions or comments on the budget? That being the case, we'll close the public portion and move on to a vote.
Well, does that have to be
amended? There's a resolution for an amendment to the budget,
okay,
which requires another meeting. Now, my question is, when is the next meeting going to be?
The next meeting is probably going to be Thursday, but we'll be discussing.
Okay, Thursday is probably too tight of a frame. We really knew it has to be at least a week.
I wanted to discuss these dates anyway, but I thought I would do it later in the meeting.
Okay.
But.
Discussing what today, ma'am?
The Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
Not at length, and that is under new business.
So the amendment. I know we have a meeting in 2 weeks, but if we have something next week, we certainly could put that on. You know, only to kind of move the tax bills along. You know, that much sooner we could get the tax bills out.
Okay,
worst
so
case, it goes to August 8th. But
okay, so
do we have
are
any
we gonna meet
scheduled?
Are we gonna meet our budget deadline?
Yeah, I mean we're okay.
The state?
We're okay. We've introduced. We're fine.
Okay. So you want to introduce the amendments on
tonight.
The next
well tonight, but there will be a public hearing on the amendment.
It's a required advertisement
yeah.
and
right.
a required public hearing, and you need 3 days from advertisement to hearing.
Yeah, so say a week, basically. So
we'll have more than that if we're waiting until the 8th.
Well, the 8th will be fine, but unless if you're meeting next week, you could put it as part of that meeting, too. You know, I'm just saying.
Okay.
But we'd have to decide that tonight.
I'd like to hold it till the 8th.
Finance is your committee, so make a motion.
All right.
I move that we have the amendment vote on the meeting of August 8th.
No, you have to move the amendment.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we have to introduce the amendment.
Oh, okay.
The
right.
final vote
yeah.
on the amendment
right.
will take place at whatever meeting night you set. It has to be 3 days, advertised 3 days before
mm-hmm.
the hearing.
Yeah. So what
and here's the other problem. We can't control the newspaper. Although we might want it advertised on a certain date, they might not be able to get it in. So that's why if we act tonight, at least.
But if you move it to the 8th, that's today's the 25th.
Yeah, there's time.
Weeks.
And as a
two
general
weeks, exactly.
rule, we get them published within 24 hours.
Right.
So that would have to be one large snafu not to be able to get it published.
Yeah. Yeah. So my recommendation would be that we'll put the notice in on August 1st. That's 1 week prior. You know, it's right in the middle of the two dates.
Why don't we put it in tomorrow?
We can't get it in tomorrow. You would never get it in tomorrow, I don't think.
No, I mean, why don't we submit it?
Like if
you can submit it.
We bought it and
we faxed it
to them or emailed
to them. In the body of the resolution, we have to say when we're going to publish, when we're going to put the notice in. I'm just saying a week gives us time. We get it to the paper this week. We say, you know, we've needed it for Monday. It's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
Gives us time. That's
I'm just saying, and I'm confused. We have, you want to make an amendment to the budget?
Yes.
We have to announce that at least 3 days prior.
You have to. In the newspaper.
Notice of hearing must be advertised at least 3 days.
Right.
The standard ordinance notices in the Times, the Trentonian, et cetera.
Yeah, are we doing Times or
Asbury
Park Press?
Not less than 3 days ahead of time.
Okay.
So why would we not just do it tomorrow? Do we not have the form of notice?
But what day is it going to be in the paper? You have to say what day is going to be in the paper.
Well, we could only say an anticipated day. We expect it to be in the paper.
If we do it tomorrow, tomorrow's Tuesday, it should be in the paper by Thursday afternoon.
All right. I mean, we could say Thursday. That's fine, too. I just thought it gave, you know, it gave the paper more time to hit that date. That's all.
I'm sorry. All right. I get Monday. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just tell them to hold. All right. So do we have an introduction of the amendment?
I'd like to move the budget amendment.
Could you please call them?
Ms.
Bona?
Aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there any discussion beyond what we've just done?
Yeah. It doesn't change the total budget. It just moves a couple things around. Yeah.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Ampelzer?
Aye.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Jacob?
Aye.
We now move to committee reports. Councilman Pellizzeri.
Okay, in the spirit of the evening, I'll try to keep this brief. You all know about the sinkhole at the post office, and we were made aware of it yesterday. We have a preliminary estimate for $4,500 to fix it, but I don't think that's really going to do the job. We're probably going to need more. It looks like it could be bigger. Secondly,
John, I can't hear. I couldn't hear the estimate.
$4,500, but we expect it to be substantially larger. $4,500 is to replace a 20-foot section, a single section of galvanized, but it is likely that we will have to do more.
Yeah.
And secondly, we have a second dumpster for tires, and as soon as that one is filled, it's going to be removed, and there will be no more. That's my report.
By the next meeting, I hope to have a better speakerphone available for you. Mr. Tickley.
Okay. I just want pleased to report that the Student Conservation Association group has finished their work. We now have the trail greatly improved and passable between Rochdale Avenue and Tamara, you know, thanks to the work that they put in. We had the grant to pay them for that, and you know, they did an excellent job. So everybody, please take the opportunity to walk on it and enjoy the woods, and enjoy that sector of the woods without sinking into the marshes. So that should be something to be pleased about. As you know, of course, the emergency committee will be discussing the emergency service building report, which is on the agenda. Another thing that is of some interest, the deputy undersecretary of Department of Agriculture, who is in charge of the rural development program, may be coming to Roosevelt because the New Jersey Rural Development Office wants to show them the work that was done on the Solar Village, which they're very proud of. We actually got about 5% of the total allocation of the whole country to do this work, and it's almost completed. One more thing has to be done, which is the awnings to be installed. They're hoping the awnings will be installed by that time. So if that happens, hopefully the borough will, you know, there'll be a program, not just the Solar Village, but involving the borough. Perhaps we have something at the memorial, the FDR statue, and use that facility for a program that everybody can come to and office, government officials, see Roosevelt, see the Solar Village in the context of what the federal government's past involvement here as well, the whole historic background.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Bond.
Okay. So for the Environmental Commission, as Michael said, the SCA left on Saturday after completing their work on the Roosevelt Woodland Trail. They did an amazing job installing woody platforms to cross the wet spots between Rochdale and Tamara, rerouting the end of the section to make it safer and more accessible to pedestrians entering from Rochdale, and creating a new trailhead by the cemetery to ensure access via public land. The Stream Committee has now acquired all the equipment needed for a monitoring kit, and additional monitoring will be scheduled among the three teams. Mary, anything to add? The Invasive Species Committee is planning their next attack, which will be the removal of invasive plants along the woodland trail between Rochdale and the bike path, to be scheduled for the fall. It will not involve trees, so no need to coordinate with the branch pickup. And the New Jersey Audubon has informed us that due to their continuing staff shortage, they will be unavailable for the foreseeable future to work with Roosevelt on forest planning. We are discussing options and have contacted other foresters who responded to our original request for quote. We'll keep the council posted as alternatives are developed. Anything to add, Eitan? No?
Thank you.
And that's all for me this evening, Mayor.
Clerk, anything? Councilman?
Nothing, Mayor.
Councilwoman Melton?
No, Planning Board has not met yet this month, and nothing from Recreation, and the budget is tonight's report.
Thank you. We'll now move on to old. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Councilman Lapode. Councilwoman Lapode.
We conducted interviews for an assistant for Toby Moore so that we can more efficiently get the work done at the water and sewer plant and perhaps cut back on some of the overtime. We found one really good candidate, and we're going to be negotiating salary. There may be a few other candidates that are getting their resumes in. It would be difficult to be better than this guy.
Thank you. Right, having forgotten you once again, and I apologize. Moving on to old business, discussion of cemetery school board. So this was a discussion that I actually started last at the last meeting. The way the cemetery ordinance is currently written, it provides, among other things, that persons who have lived in Roosevelt for 20 years are always entitled to be buried in our cemetery. If you are elected to a position in the borough of Roosevelt and serve for a minimum of 3 years, you are entitled to be buried in our cemetery upon your death. There is no provision for the school board members who are elected but not to the borough of Roosevelt. And some have assumed in the past that they were entitled to be buried here based on their service, and others not. And so I had asked if everybody would think about it and see if we wanted to make a motion to amend the cemetery ordinance to include among the elected positions the members of the Board of Education who serve for 3 or more years.
And then left town.
And then left town, yes. That service of 3 years may be the reason for which they would have left town, but yes.
Not doubting.
Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make the motion. I think that they should receive equal treatment. I'm not sure what the original need for the 3 years for the borough people was, why there was some emergency of somebody who left town, but if there is such a provision, it should extend to the school board as well. They equally serve.
Well, basically, right now, if you're elected to the school board, you're not entitled to be buried in Roosevelt. Okay.
I'm saying they should be. They should be treated equally.
And do we have a second for that motion?
Was this the same?
Second.
They have to be on the school board for 3 years?
For 3 years, yes. Jill. Okay, Jill seconded.
Yes, I seconded it. And I'd like to speak to that. I think that the people who serve on the school board put in at least as much, if not more, time than the members of the borough council. And I think that it is fair for them who, if they're on a ballot, they have to be elected. They should also receive the benefit of being buried in Roosevelt.
And I don't think we have to do this by motion because it's just to move forward on amending the ordinance.
We have to draft an ordinance.
Right. So does anybody object to us moving forward with that? Okay, great. So we will do that. Thank you. New business. Final report of Emergency Services Advisory Committee. That report is available to us. It is also on the website. That was issued on Saturday, and went up on the website towards the end of the weekend. So I know that while I asked everybody on the council to read it carefully, they may or may not have had time to do so. I'm sure the people in the audience may not have had time to download it and read it carefully. So we are going to start scheduling meetings to deal with this. The first one tentatively scheduled for Thursday at 7 o'clock. To give everybody time to read, digest, and consider what's in that that report. Sinkhole on 571 we talked about. Sam, you asked to be on the agenda on new business?
Yes. I know there's some discussion. I'm sorry. Sam,
yeah, could you hand it, Jerry, could you hand the microphone? Or George.
Sam Canizaro, tax collector and utility collector for Roosevelt. I know there was some discussion regarding a vendor for the revenue collection package, the taxes and the sewer. They're thinking of making a change or something.
You mean the software?
Yes, the software, yes. Yeah. Are they looking at a particular company then?
Edmunds.
Uh-huh.
The reason we're looking at Edmunds is that we had a an old system, GFMS. GFMS was a very old system. We decided to, and most of the towns around us use Edmunds. So in consultation with our financial folks, we decided to start moving over to Edmunds. Right now, all of our bookkeeping is on Edmunds. We will be bringing in training for the other people in the office so that they can also access that system. In looking at that, we've had a push from people in town for a couple of things. They want to be able to pay by credit card. They want to be able to pay monthly instead of every other month. Edmunds would allow all of that. In addition to that, it would allow immediate posting instead of a delayed posting. So payments would be posted immediately to the, I think, to the general ledger. We had thought about the possibility of other packages. The problem is that maintaining two packages and training people on two packages becomes something of a morass. So if we can get everybody on the same system, if, forbid, somebody gets hit by a truck, somebody else is trained on that system on both sides. So we've been leaning heavily towards it. I think we voted to fund that transition, didn't we? Everybody's looking at me blankly, so maybe not.
We didn't vote. The current revenue collection package we have with Vital, we'll do all that too. I have a pretty good rapport with Vital. I've been working with them for about 15 years, and they're good.
I don't know how old Vital is. I don't think we were derogating Vital. We were just saying, maintaining a consistent system throughout becomes a much more cost-effective, time-effective.
Do they have a startup cost? A startup? Oh,
sure. There would be startup. There would be startup costs. Now, the only thing is, we'll go with Edmunds. Probably it wouldn't happen until the beginning of the year, most likely.
Right.
If you're looking to do something now with the existing system, Sam did get some information on working through another vendor, CityNet, where people could make online payments. It'll be at a lower cost.
Two different systems?
Well, I'm just saying, as an option of something you could probably do quicker than later,
My personal preference, and obviously we'll poll the council, but my personal preference would be if we don't do it until beginning of next year, but it's better in the long run, well, let's wait till the beginning of next year. I don't know that we need a quick fix.
Well, I think Sam had some concerns about
printing of bills. Right. Is that going to be moved in-house as far, I think, by...
Well, you can do it either way.
I mean, you're going to have the same access to the system as everybody who's physically in the office.
Right.
Well, yeah, except they would be limited. They would only be able to view the majority of people.
We can view the current vendor also.
Wait, I'm confused. Sam is the tax collector.
Yes.
Right.
So he prints the bills. He collects the money.
We have it.
Which he does through Vital.
Right.
And he does it not necessarily from our office, right?
Just Vital is a service bureau.
Okay.
They do all the printing. We order it, and we pick it up, and then I mail it out.
But he can also enter the data, create the bills, et cetera, from Edmunds, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
But who would, Edmunds would print the bills here, or would I have to print them?
That's my concern. Either way,
I mean,
they're a service bureau too. They can do it.
I believe they have the ability. They will print the bills for you. I mean, you can print the bills in house. For example, Monroe Township, we just sent out 18,000 bills that we printed in house.
But we print out 325 every 2 months.
Yeah.
So the cost
it
of
go way, it could go
the
way,
cost
it could
of
go
a ream of paper and a couple of envelopes, I think,
some
is
towns farm it out and they don't even print the envelopes.
We could fold it over, whatever, get a folding machine, take it down to the post office. Okay.
Did you have some more?
Yeah. The cost of all this, just what I'm trying to get at is that the current system is working pretty good, fine. I know you want to go with one vendor for the whole system.
The problem is that the current system isn't working for the people in town. The people in town want to be able to pay with credit cards, want to be able to pay
monthly. We can. Vital can do that.
Why aren't we doing it?
Well, we're going to look into it, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it could be a couple $1,000 startup, possibly.
On Vital or Edmunds?
On Vital.
And what is it for Edmunds?
Edmunds working on getting a better price right now to get both modules. You know, you're probably looking close to 10, but I think it could be a lot less. Or somewhat less. I'm still working on it.
And then is there a difference over the long term? In other words, is it less expensive for us? So if we're paying a service bureau and every month we pay the service bureau $1,000 versus buying the package once.
Yeah, I don't think
I think the total cost for Vital was $5,000 for everything. That's delinquent notices, tax bills, utility bills, notices, tax sale notices. And they also, if there's a rebate, they regenerate another tax bill for us.
So that's $5,000 per year, per annum?
For everything.
And then the cost of putting in Edmunds, which would get rid of that cost, would be somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
Well, the initial cost, but and then the maintenance cost would probably be about $3,000 a year.
Okay, so we just need to run those numbers out. We need to figure out what Vital can do.
I'm in touch with them again, trying to work on a better price. You know. But I was just thinking, if it's something that we want to do sooner than later, we probably could do the CityNet thing with Vital.
I don't think immediate timing. I think the issue is having the services available to the people who are paying the bills, and you know, looking at the possibility that somebody gets hit by a truck or whatever, and we have to jump in, you know. And I like Sam, but Sam's over there by himself, and you know that becomes an issue.
We could also put Vital into the town hall too. In other words, they can do whatever you want from here is what I do.
So the people in our office could get into the system.
Yes, they can go into the system. They also, if you wanted to, for some reason, check someone's taxes, if they wanted to see, oh, you know, how far, you know, they're along, or if they wanted to, if regarding utility payments, we're talking about a partial payment system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it can be done. The only problem with that is that we become the bank. I don't know if we want to do that. We just want to collect the money.
Well, if we simply say if it's $360 for every 2 months and we say you could pay $180 a month, I'm not sure we're becoming much of a bank.
Okay. The only
we're getting
as long as they stick with the plan. If somebody comes in and says, look, I don't have 180, but I have 93, we think then the delinquency charges kick in. And that's what we want to avoid becoming the bank.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about allowing monthly issues. We're not going into the issue of, I'm sorry, monthly payments. We're not going into the issue of what happens if they don't have that monthly payment. That's a whole different.
Right, but I know it's you're stepping into this now, and then the potential is that down the road it could get even less favorable. That somebody can say, look, even 180 is tough. Instead of 360 or 336, whatever.
Yeah.
We just have to monitor it. You know, look, in the end, look, we get our money in the end.
But it's the same. But it's the same, Jerry. It's the same issue as, okay, so every 2 months I have to pay $370, and I come up and I say I don't have $370. Now we're just doing it monthly, so at least we'll catch it earlier.
You're right. And like I said, in the end, we'll be comfortable going. We get our money in the end no matter what, at 18% sometimes. So, you know, we have to be cautious. And you have to be careful with credit cards, too. Only at the time of the tax sale, because you don't want people to come in and pay by a credit card. They then get removed from the tax sale list. And then the next day they call the credit card company and challenge the charges. We have to have pretty strict guidelines there to avoid
tax
that.
Cash your check.
You have to be very, very careful with that.
Once
it's published, you can't use a credit card.
Right.
I will point out, however, that notwithstanding all these problems, there are a very large number of communities in New Jersey that bill monthly and accept credit cards.
No, I got it.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's get some real specific numbers.
The credit card issue, I think, was just during tax sale. We're more talking about during the year.
I'm only talking about at tax.
When there's an advertisement.
When he publishes the first publication of those who are going up for tax sale, after that's published, then you need to have pretty strict rules because, like I said, I've seen it happen in one place where they come in and pay, they get removed from the tax sale list. The next day they challenge the charges, and all of a sudden, guess what? You think the guy is not going to be on tax sale, but he is. And he thinks he's scot-free, but he's not. So.
Okay.
There's, you know,
but we're going to investigate further.
But I'm assuming that there's a little routine in there that will say, you know, if tax sale equals yes, then accept credit card equals no. And if there's not, you can use one of my programmers to do it.
So credit cards, I think you just want to do online anyway. You don't want to have people come in and pay credit by credit card here.
No, they just do it online. They go on. Yeah. It goes to a merchant processing. We charge them.
They charge a fee, and that's it.
We pass on the fee, and that's it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll research the possibilities and the numbers.
We're not going to start.
We're researching the possibilities at Vital.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Not at
a Vital.
Three other companies.
A Vital.
And Mr. Lang is going to go back with numbers for Edmunds, and then we'll run them out over the next couple of years and figure it out. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. We now open for public. I'm sorry. Was there any other new business at the table?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss the dates.
Okay.
Who came up with these dates?
I did.
Jeff.
It is every weekday at 7:00, every Saturday at 3:00, every Sunday off. The reason is we have a statutory requirement if we want to have the public vote on anything without spending another $15,000 or $20,000 on a referendum.
Well, actually, the public did vote. And the referendum was voted down, but that's
right,
a whole other story.
Right, so we created a committee, and they have come up with a report.
I understand that, but this is not right. This is summer. This is the middle of the summer. It's vacation time. There are so many, I don't know about everyone else, there are so many dates that I can't make.
Okay, let's be clear. In order for us to get this done, we have to have a series of meetings. In order for us to have a series of meetings that the public can attend, and that more than three of us can attend at any given time, we have to have a public notice. Since we do not know the dates on which those meetings will occur yet, and we cannot balance it, I mean, we can't figure it out today, we have reserved each of those days so that if we determine to have a meeting, we have met the statutory requirements, number one. Number two, I understand that it's summer, But our hard deadline with the Election Commission is August 19th.
Well,
so summer
that's
or not.
Assuming that you think it's right to have another referendum. We did have a referendum, which was completely disregarded. But I'm not getting into that now. I'm only getting into the dates. Mm-hmm. You're asking people to come almost every day in the middle of the summer.
No, I'm not. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Those are the notices that we require. So today we got the, or last night and today, we got the
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Every weekday at 7 o'clock and Saturdays at 3.
I think that's completely unrealistic and unfair.
Okay, thank you. So our next meeting to discuss the report would be Thursday at 7. For anybody who wants to attend, I think as many of you as can would be helpful. Opening for public comment. Mrs. Sean.
Jeb Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. I must say I was really a bit stunned to find the change of the agenda at 5 o'clock or whatever this evening, talking about the what was entitled, and on the agenda is entitled, the Final Advisory Committee Report. How can it be the Final Advisory Committee Report when the Minority Report has not been submitted yet? There's quite a rush, and I think it's very inappropriate. And it really kind of put me at the end of my rope. So I wrote a little statement that I'm going to read, and then I'm going to depart. To the Roosevelt Council and Mayor, I strongly object to the last-minute addition to tonight's agenda of the, in quote, Final Advisory Committee Report. On an evening when important speeches will be delivered at the Democratic National Convention, which we are all now missing. Also, I think it's very likely that the minority report will not be included tonight, and that if it is so, it would be improper to present the majority report as a complete committee report. It isn't. The public has a right to read both reports. And since the majority report is 22 pages long, I mean, I put in a good deal of time on it today. And since I disagreed with the information provided in almost every paragraph, it took a long time, and I'm nowhere near the end of it, and I don't know if I can be by Thursday, plus reading an additional report. So then I continued to write, I have carefully read the majority report, having attended many of the committee meetings. As I read the report, it became clear, as it had been during the meetings I attended, that the entire issue has been considered from the point of view of those who favor new construction and local fire and first aid departments, and that five of the six committee members have that view. This is to be expected considering the makeup of the committee. As someone who opposed new construction and the general status quo, I objected to statements in almost every paragraph of the report. From my perspective, the committee did not do a complete investigation of alternative solutions. And if somebody wants to sit with me, I can go paragraph by paragraph and tell you a different way of thinking about all the information that was stated. Consequently, I find the results and the recommendations of the committee unacceptable. This is what comes of appointing a committee that does not reflect the results of the referendum. There cannot be a meaningful exchange of ideas, which should have occurred on the committee, when all but one are on one side from the outset. There cannot be a dialogue that results in a true understanding of the issues, and it is a shame. Respectfully submitted, Jeb Sean. And I'll give you this, Kelly, so thank you. But as you can see, it's a pretty exasperating situation.
Thank you. Please note that it is not being discussed tonight. We have put it off till Thursday.
Right, and that's too soon, too, because we haven't seen the minority.
Hi, I'm Maria Del Piano, and I live at 16 Tamara Drive. And I would just like to say that I support what Jeb Sean has just read. I, too, feel that it's been very one-sided. And what Councilman Peggy Malcolm said, there has been a resolution. It has been voted on. And this is being swept under the rug, so it seems. And continuing to push for new construction, which apparently many of us in town feel quite strongly is either both unnecessary and too costly. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeff Klein. I'm currently homeless in Roosevelt. But just to reiterate what everybody's saying, I have no stake in this at all. I'm leaving town. My only concern in this whole thing is that I've been working first aid for many, many years. I've been back of ambulances for a long time already, and I picked up thousands of patients, which I can say with full confidence I picked up 1,000 or more patients and take them to the hospital. The only thing I wanted to say is I think that health-wise, just from a purely health point of view, what the state of New Jersey is going through and what Roosevelt is going through, is you're doing a great disservice to this community and to the Millstone community as well by not even addressing shared services. Boggles my mind that it won't even be considered. I work with people now in different places in New Jersey as a paid EMT, and they are, and they're from all over the state. They don't just work where I work. Everybody works in different locations, whether it be Newark, Jersey City, Camden, down into Delaware. It doesn't matter where they work. It's all going the same way. Volunteer services is diminishing. It's disappearing. Squads across the state are becoming more and more paid squads. This is the way that they're covering their cities and their towns over and over and over again. And they've looked into it for a year or 2 years, and they've developed the way to do it, whether it be just purely paid or paid with volunteer. They work together. There's a paid member and a volunteer member. This is what's happening. And I think health-wise, just from a strictly first aid 911 point of view in this area, trying to continue to work a volunteer system and put all this money into a new building, when the real problem is going to be that you're going to end up with Monarch, as you say in the report, and they're going to put liens on people's houses, as you reported, though you don't know for sure if they did. Is Monarch going to hard bill? Is it going to soft bill? Is there the opportunity to build a shared services in the state and for Roosevelt and Millstone to incorporate a shared services, including fire as well, whether under auspices of the fire department or a private organization or however, is a great thing. It is what is really happening in the state. And to not even to consider that as part of the majority report, even though you did look at it a little bit, I can see that there was a slight investigation into it, and I know that you, Jeff, would like to say more about that, I'm sure, because I'm sure there's been meetings. No, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, there's been meetings with the Millstone and people, this and that, so I'm sure there's more information I don't have. But just speaking from the information I have from the people I work with daily, at different squads, this is the way of the future. And I think any time spent now looking at a fire department and building bays and not looking at ways to incorporate a reliable 911 system in this, especially out here, which is 20 minutes from the hospital, you're doing a real health disservice to this community. And I think the time is now to start to look at how to incorporate that rather than saying we're not even going to look at it. If you start now, within 3 years, you may have something in place in a private organization. And again, I have no stake in this. I'm probably not even going to be here. So for me, it's not a matter of any personal anything. I just, from what I know, from what I've seen, from the work that I've done over the years, I highly recommend that you guys look at it, listen to the minority report, stop this nonsense of we're not going to even listen. It's so bipartisan, it's ridiculous. And I just think that you really need to stop and look at what's good for the community.
Have you read the report?
I have. I read most of it, yes. This report, the minority report we were going to write up, but I read most of it. And I see that some research was done, but I think it's like a cover research, and I don't know why everybody's so determined on this building when I think it's completely the wrong way as far as that goes. I do understand you guys want it. I don't understand why so much. Just from a complete, like I'm saying, from a complete health and safety point of view, I think it's a mistake. Judging by what's happening, what I see happening with the squad, and what has been happening around the state, and what is going to happen here, for sure, there's no doubt in my mind, it will happen here, and I don't think you guys are ready for it. And I think it's going to be more of a knee-jerk reaction when it does finally start to happen. And I hope bad things don't happen in the meanwhile to people. You know?
Actually, the only bad things that have happened in the last 2 months are those occasions when Roosevelt has not been able to respond, which is very rare, and our average wait time for a response from some other town is between 40 and 45 minutes, just so we're clear.
I'm confused about that.
Okay.
No, I don't understand what the point was. For 45 minutes is a long time.
Yes, it certainly is. It's terrible.
Right, but you're waiting for services. That's my point exactly. When Roosevelt can't respond, you now have a 45-minute wait, or 20 to 45, for another crew to come in here,
right,
and help.
Right.
And that's going to happen. That's not just like a random thing. That's going to happen more
so
and
our,
more and
our
more.
Our current first aid crew, just to give them kudos, our current first aid crew responds either singly or with a full team. Almost between 98 and 99% of the calls, I believe.
Not my point, Jeff. Not my point, though. I'm not talking about... You're saying something for right now. I'm saying the future, when you're looking 1, 2, and 3 years down the road, it's not going to continue. Okay. It's continuing right now. It's not going to continue.
You are aware...
I was on the squad for many, many years.
Notwithstanding the report, you are aware that we have had numerous negotiations with Millstone Fire, that we have had numerous meetings with representatives of First Aid in Millstone. You're aware of this, right?
I understand that there's been meetings. Yeah, I know the people.
Well, you keep saying it's getting glossed over. So,
right.
And the report goes into very specific cost options that were
right.
presented by Millstone.
These are
negotiations.
Cost options. I don't think. I mean, I don't know the cost options. I know the people
They're in the report.
You know, and I understand, but some of the stuff is not. It's just not right. It's not correct. Because
okay.
I deal with these people. I've dealt with them, and I know how they run the system. I know how they run the money. I know how they get. I know what they're doing.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is there anybody else from the public? Yes.
Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I didn't get to read the report yet. I didn't think it was going to be on the agenda for
it's
tonight.
It's not being discussed
I know.
Tonight.
I know. However, this comment is not specifically about the report. I was just scanning through. And I see Alan Malik's name is on supporting a number of the resolutions. And that just really surprised me because I thought his role was chairperson, make sure all parties have opportunity to get their points presented, make sure there's a thorough investigation. So I don't understand why the chair of the committee is then, you know, supporting certain recommendations.
All members of the committee can vote. The fact that he's the chair doesn't mean he can't vote. Our local president votes. You know, chair people vote.
Okay. Well, I guess that's how it was set up. I didn't remember it being set up that way when the committee was created.
Well, there were three, we'll call them partisan. Right, so you had fire, first aid, the objectors, whatever you want to call it. There were two council people who I hope would have an open mind, and Mr. Malik, who I think we all understand has an open mind. They conducted 6 months worth of testimony, discussions, whatever, and then presented a wide variety. They came up with a wide variety of options, and then I believe they voted on them to figure out which ones everybody thought was better, and then submitted their report.
I don't want to get into this tonight, Jeff, but I don't believe that so many people had open minds.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just a really quick couple of points. I'm lived in New Jersey most of my life, and from what I can tell of government, I think that Jeff is absolutely right. New Jersey has been wanting shared services for many, many years. I've lived in towns where, okay, but that's beside the point. The other point is I was in business in New York, and Jeff and I have talked about this, and when I read the majority report, the one thing that struck me like hot kiss at the end of a wet fist was that you put a number on the table, $30,000 you put on the table and said, how about this?
Mm-hmm.
And negotiations, you never are the first one to put a number on the table. It's just the way I've done business. 35 years in New York.
I'm sorry. Let's be clear. They put a number on the table. It's the same number it's been for the past 6 years. It's 11 cents per 100 assessed valuation, which is $94,800 per year.
I'm just...
Okay. It's the number, and it's and there's still
to me it's unfathomable to put a number on the table before you really
still
negotiate their number down or whatever. But all right, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Markham, Mayor Markham.
Neil Markham, 3 Eleanor. I've been reading this report over the weekend, and I'm not speaking as a member of the First Aid Squad right now. I'm speaking as a system professional. I've 30 years developing, more than 30 years developing systems, and I just find that the report itself is amateurish at best. There's almost a complete lack of attribution for any of the details that are in here. As a matter of fact, the report goes on to say that it's not even presenting facts, it's presenting assessments. And I note that with the exception of Mr. Connors, all right, who I understand personally has experience in emergency services, nobody there is an acknowledged expert, nor is there any references to any acknowledged experts in here. So there are things that are notable. For example, there's no reference to NFPA 1720, which is the national, which is the standards by which volunteer agencies are supposed to comply. There's no references to where the construction costs are. There's no references to, there's no discussion of continuing costs of any of these things over here. There's no discussion as to, like you said, the continuing negotiation with Millstone. As a side note, did anybody bother to talk to Applegarth, which is only a mile further than Millstone? All right? Because of these things, I find the report to be, I mean, you have to question when you read it every single paragraph here, because it's really presenting the opinions of people who are not experts in this particular field. I suggest that the council consider summarily rejecting this report and engaging a systems professional, a fire systems professional, to write a comprehensive report specifying what the needs and the requirements of the borough are before one goes out and makes conclusions as to how we should proceed. And if it goes past the deadline for the election, so be it. Because the real goal here, all right, is not to give, you know, not to have a fire department or a first aid department. The real goal here is to protect the lives and property of the residents. And I think we really should defer to people who really do know what they're doing, do it for a living, and really kind of understand these things. Incidentally, I had some conversations with some of those people. I think they interviewed some of them, none of which are referenced or quoted in this particular report. So again, I renew my suggestion that you summarily reject this thing and commission a professional engineer, fire systems professional, to write a report that first says what the needs and requirements of the borough are, and then you can make an assessment as to what the cost benefits of the various options are.
May I suggest, Mr. Marco, Mayor Marco, if you go to the website, you will see the report of every engineer, every architect, the fire specialist who was brought in. We had testimony from JIF. There are various reports. So when you say, if your position is that this does not specify those reports, your point is taken. However, to say that there are not estimates by engineers, that there are not estimates by architects, that there are not estimates by fire professionals, that, unfortunately, is incorrect, and you will find them on the website. You'll find each one of those construction proposals there with backup as to cost, et cetera. But since the idea was not to discuss this
sure.
this evening, I suggest that we try to avoid further discussion of the report on emergency services because we're not going to get anywhere, and just set it up again for Thursday.
Well, I would just to say, though, since you responded, I'll also respond in that, yes, the council allocated funds to pay for a fire professional to give their assessment, which was completely ignored in this report since it was negative as far as a new building. So it's not mentioned at all. We did have a fire professional as well as the other engineers.
I mean, speaking just off the cuff here.
Could just come back to the microphone? Thank you.
You can go onto the web and you can download NFPA 1720.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it says in there that in this type of region, you need to have a response of 6 firefighters within 14 minutes, 80% of the time.
Right,
that should have been.
We're not bound by that.
Of course, we're not bound by that.
Okay.
Of course. We'll wait 45 minutes for somebody to show up. That's not the point, Jeff. The point is that that's a known standard
mm-hmm.
by which we should attempt to get to. And I think if you look at the data from an organization like Millstone, you'll find that they actually do meet that. I know that because I have looked at the data, and they do meet that. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So the real point that I'm trying to make here is that a lot of opinions are floating around, a lot of opinions by people who don't really know the real nuts and bolts of what's going on. And I would have a lot more faith if one of those professionals wrote a report specifying the needs and requirements of the borough, and not something where in one of the opening paragraphs they say, these are not facts, these are assessments. And that's in that report. I don't know if you saw that particular line. All right, that's basically all that I'm saying. We depend upon explicit recommendations and reports from the financial professionals, from the engineering professionals. I don't know why we wouldn't depend upon an explicit written report presented to the council from this sort of professional when the lives and property of all the residents are at stake.
Right. And my only suggestion was that those reports, many of those reports were submitted to the committee and that they are available online. You may disagree with them. I'm just saying they're available online. Ms. Parrott? Is this about emergency services?
It is.
Okay, since we're moving this to Thursday,
but I wanted what if people can't come on Thursday? What if people can't come between now and the 19th of August when you said it has to be completed? Is that the date? I have to echo everything that Jeff Sean said, and I'm going to say what I said when you appointed this committee. Every single one, except for Bob Clark, was very obviously and loudly in favor of this building. It was biased from day one, and Alan Malik is included, because he spoke with someone from the No Group and he refused to sign the petition to even put it up for a vote, for a referendum. All of them. Jill and Michael were challengers for the Yes Group, so they weren't open-minded. I attended many of the meetings, and it was from the comments from the chair and the other people, it was clearly set up to reach the outcome that he reached, which is to build the building that was voted down by the referendum. And of course, that's what it came up with. What did anybody expect? Because that was the design. And now you're going to do you want to do another referendum. And to be quite honest, I don't trust the questions that you're going to ask on the referendum, because I don't think the question that I want asked on it is going to be on it.
And
which
what
is,
would that question be?
Do you want to spend this bond? Do we want another bond?
Okay.
That would be the question. And we already spent, how much did we spend on the first referendum that was ignored?
You spent about $12,000 on the first referendum, plus the money for the trailer, plus the money for the roof. But it comes up to about $45,000 to have gone through this exercise.
So that money's on the budget that we had? That was in the 20,000?
In various places.
That was in the 20,000 for the fire department? I asked you that point blank. Is the money for that trailer in the 20,000? You said it was.
Yes.
So
it
now
is.
It's up to 45,000?
No.
I guess what the point is that there's a, at least on a part of me, there's a lack of trust in terms of honesty that's going on with respect to this council. That, again, Peggy, we already voted on this. Why are we going to do it again and then jam it through? If you're gonna vote to spend another $600,000, you want to spend another $600,000, but you won't give time. But you're worried about spending 12 on a referendum, so that people can have adequate time to digest the minority report and the majority report and have real discussion on it. I was also at the meeting where I listened to the whole recording of the meeting where the fire expert attended, and it was totally ignored in this report, completely ignored. And it wasn't online. He didn't put a written report in. He spoke. And he said that the fire trucks are all obsolete, and if we're sued, if there's an injury and we're sued, we will be liable. And his website says that he testifies as an expert witness.
Right, and he was incorrect. He was incorrect according to GIF. And to be clear, two things. One, 50% of Millstone's equipment is as old or older than the equipment that we own. One. Two, you're making the problem I'm having here, and I'll just say it once, is you're making an assumption as to what it is that the council is going to adopt. And the proposals in here range from getting rid of the fire department and first aid and going regional to building a building. They're all in there. We have not even started to discuss the options that have been presented, and your assumption is we're building a building.
And you're going to do it in 19 days?
We have the report, we have the options, we have the numbers.
Well,
so
I
we're going to try to do it in 19
I
days.
I agree with Mayor Marco that it should be totally ignored. Totally ignored. It was biased to be the committee meetings were biased of that advisory committee meeting. Several things online have no attribution for their source either. If you say refer to them online, if somebody sits down and types something up and puts it online, that doesn't make it a fact.
Thank you. Anybody else? Honey?
But do I have to say my name again? Okay.
Yes, please.
Annie Roscoe. As far as, I just want to preface that because we may object to the building does not mean we think any less of the fire department and what it does and how it contributes to this town. They are up there and to the some of the best events that they've created in a very, very long time, and their community involvement. So what I have to say is not against the fire department, but it is if we are willing to come up with investing what is now almost $1 million in a new building for a company that rarely gets to go to a fire, I would like to ask why that money isn't used. If we can raise that kind of money, why isn't it used to pay the people who are the ambulance people who go on, 98 calls? How many calls did you say that they
120 in the first quarter.
They should be getting...
Yeah, so 120 first quarter. I estimated 300 for the year.
They should be getting paid. And I think if you're willing to consider spending that kind of money on a building and expect to have a volunteer ambulance squad, I think this town's going to be in really big trouble. Because, as you said, I know we're not allowed to talk about this, but as you did say in it, you said there is no guarantee that we could even fill the fire department in the future.
Well, first of all, let's be clear. I didn't say, okay? We appointed a committee, a commission, to look at all of the options to determine.
You appointed.
The council, by majority vote, as it passes everything that we pass, approved a commission to study the alternatives because regardless of how the bond vote went, we still have a problem. Okay? payment of first aid doesn't alleviate the problem of the facilities. We whether we pay them or not, it's not a question of either or. We have to do something about the facilities, which may include not using them at all, but we have to do something. We can't not do something.
Well,
and so the purpose of the commission was to say, look at the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they presented us with a report,
mm-hmm.
and I, having spoken to some of them during and after, I think as much as there are comments which I would view as demeaning to the people who are on the committee, I point out that they spent 6 months, an incredible amount of time and effort, trying to get through materials, trying to get through testimony by our CFO, by the lawyers, by the engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So whether or not we agree with their conclusions and their recommendations,
mm-hmm.
doesn't by necessity make them not have worked hard, nor does it make them biased, except for, in fairness, yes, fire was expected, representative was expected to be biased in favor of fire. First aid was expected to be,
right,
okay.
Right. Well,
so
I'm on neither of them.
No, I know.
So my opinion has nothing to do with being on any of these. It's just observation. I've worked with architects. I know how they can give an estimate, and it's inevitably 10% more. The first estimate that you guys gave us for building a firehouse was something like $500,000 or $600,000.
Yeah.
This time around, the engineer went and contracted a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and it went up to almost $1 million. And it's shocking that we are even considering $800,000, okay? $800,000 to $1 million. That we are even considering putting that burden on the people of this town. You know, some of us can't afford to do this. And if that doesn't... What? Yeah, that is a construction estimate. So I just, you know, that's my opinion. And I think that, I don't think that I think it's become more now a battle of wills and less about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It really is about the battle of wills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Congress. You know, it's like Congress. They're just gonna roadblock any kind of decision, and in the end, who suffers? We do, and that's the same as what's going to happen in this town.
You guys, the
whole war that's going on is absurd because we are going to end up paying the bill.
Just to be clear, so that we have our facts right, because this is becoming a real problem. The cost of building a new 5-bay building, $504,425. Contingency, $50,000. Soft costs are $75,000 for the architects, the attorneys, et cetera, for a total of $629,000.
It's going to be $1 million.
And
okay,
if the
but
referendum
you're saying the report
it's
says
it's
going to
be $1 million.
But the referendum was voted down when it was
well,
six.
Well, there's no
when
respect
was,
for the people
it was
of this
less
town. We voted, and you're going ahead and just bulldozing decisions that were made by the people of this town. So
I'm failing to understand. Excuse me. I'm going to stand up and yell Yahoo. I'm failing to understand because this is bothersome to me. Why there is the assumption that we have made a decision? We just got the report. We sent the report out to everybody and said, "Here's the report."
Because
so if the bond ordinance was turned down.
Mm-hmm.
Do we still have a problem? We have buildings that we can't use. We have facilities issues. We have to do something, right? So how
why
do we decide what to do?
Why is the most expensive option being considered?
The most expensive option at the moment
is
having...
Is the one we're considering.
No, the most expensive option that we have at the moment is to pay Millstone to cover us for fire. That's the most expensive
and that
option.
That would exceed what the taxpayers are going to end up paying for the next 10 years.
Absolutely.
For what is the amount?
The amount right now that's
that
being
we would
offered
be
by
paying
Millstone?
Them. Yeah.
$94,800 per year, assuming that our assessed valuation doesn't go up and assume that the district allocation does not go up. and assuming that we don't have allocations for capital improvements, which they're planning on. That doesn't mean that A, it has been, that it's been rejected, Ani?
I'm sorry, what?
That doesn't mean that that option has been rejected. It doesn't mean that we're not negotiating with them to try to get a cheaper price.
Well,
but that's what.
Can you explain to me then why are you proposing a new referendum?
We're not necessarily proposing a new referendum. What we are discussing is there are numerous options in here, right? We need to, excuse me. We need to go through those options.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to decide whether any of them are worth considering. If they are worth considering, is more than one worth considering? And if more than one is worth considering, then we ought to comply with the requests that we have had on numerous occasions to permit the citizens of Roosevelt to vote on them. In order to permit the citizens of Roosevelt to vote on what the options are, they have to go into a polling booth. We have an election coming up. It's a general election. And if we can get those questions onto the general election, it will be cheaper, more efficient, and we will know what it is that everybody wants.
We found out
that they didn't want to spend $600,000 on that building.
That's right. And so now you're talking about
what's
the
difference. We don't want six, we want more.
Why is it still there? Because the issue was what a lot of what we heard was, okay, let's.
Can I sit down? Or
yes, please.
Okay, just one thing.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
Let her stand up to the speaker.
I feel like we did vote on that. We did vote on that, and it was voted down.
And you, okay.
That's all.
Ms. Delpiano, could you please?
Well, it's something.
Name and address so they
Maria Delpiano, 16 Tamara. And
Please understand
that
when the people in the office listen to the tapes,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm watching you. I know who you are.
Yeah, but you want to know.
They hear a voice
right,
change,
right.
And they.
I understand.
They, okay.
Yeah. So, if one of the recommendations is something that was already voted down, basically a new 5-bay structure, very similar to the costs that the original referendum voted down, and here we see it back on the plate again. It does very. It's blatant that our original referendum vote has been ignored because the same item is, or very something very similar to it, is right back on the table again. If the report mentioned other options and considered that this was already tabled and voted against, that would have seemed more objective.
Putting aside blatant.
And I'm going to sit.
Please. Putting aside blatant. One of the recurring statements in the referendum discussion was, you're lying, you're making it up, there's no basis for it, etc. So the solution was to say, okay, let's have a group listen to the various conditions, the various terms, okay? Why can't we do it out of the budget? So Mr. Lang gets up and says, well, there's a 2% cap. We're not allowed to do it out of the budget that way, et cetera. Okay, so we've now set what the parameters of what we can do are. Those meetings were all held in public. All of the information, the tapes, were all put on the internet so that everybody could hear them, everybody could attend. If you wanted to know why there was a limitation on paying out of current budget, you could come when Mr. Lang was speaking and ask him questions. So everybody had the opportunity to ask questions to get answers. Okay? From that, now everybody's got the same information, and we say to the group, okay, look at all of the options, all of the options. Why? Because, in fact, building a building might be cheaper. It might not. But look at it. Okay? And then come back, and the charge to that committee, and you can go back and see it in the records, the charge of the committee was consider every option from building a building to getting rid of the departments entirely. And in fact, they looked at all those options. We may not like what they came out with. We may not agree with it. But it does not mean that they did not look at all the options and say, okay, that's one of the options. There's also an option in there for a two-bay building. Go to Millstone, use them for fire services, keep our first aid. There's also discussion of get rid of first aid. Okay, I think that's a terrible idea, but that's my opinion. Okay? They put out, God, did they put out options? 8 options? 10 options? Okay, they're all there. The cost of all of them, the cost of rebuilding the buildings, which had been brought up, how much would it cost to actually fix those buildings? Okay, we had five engineers out here. Mechanical, electrical, general, municipal, and there was one more. I have no idea what the hell he did or she did. But, okay, so 5 engineers came through. They looked at that building. They looked at that building to figure out what it would cost to rebuild it in accordance with current law. They brought in an architect separately to look at the buildings and say, what do you think it would cost? So nobody sat down and said, okay, we're going to build a building. They came in and said, would it be cheaper to fix what we have versus to build something? Would it make more sense to go to a fire district like Millstone, or would it make more sense to do something else? All of the results of all of those investigations are in here, and we have to look at them and say, okay, which one makes the most sense? People who voted against the bond because they were told it was going to be, what was it, Joe, $750,000 versus $540,000, or it was going to be $20 million or whatever it was, may come back and say, you know what, I looked at this, and maybe a building isn't such a bad idea. Or maybe they look at it and they say, you know what, I still don't want a building because I'm worried about whether anybody's going to be around to occupy it. So I would much prefer that maybe we pay a little more, but we go to Millstone. That's okay. Okay? If you want to ask me personally, and I have said this to numerous people, the best solution, easiest solution for me as a person, shut them all down. I don't have the political issues. I don't have people yelling at me. I don't have to deal with it on an ongoing basis. Personally, that's my easiest solution. But also personally, my obligation, and trust me, the people here know my parents, my obligation is to do what I think is best for the town and what the town wants. And the only way to figure that out is they get a bunch of people together, listen to the experts, and decide. So we're going to look at all of these things. And all of those things includes getting rid of fire, getting rid of first aid. It's all in here.
I think the town did tell you what it wanted, though.
What does it want?
I don't think you're getting rid of it. I mean, I'm sorry. You're not getting rid of anything. I mean, you're not getting rid of it. You're just something. First aid, you're just something. You don't have to get rid of the volunteer services. You just incorporate them with a paid squad. You don't say, they're gone and they're gone. You're saying, I mean, you're just saying, like, you get rid of it. I'm saying, no, there's much better ways.
No, Jeff, what I am saying, Jeff, is that the committee looked at, and we are considering, all options from building a building to getting rid of it, all of it. That would include joining with a paid squad. It would include any one of a number of things.
Okay.
Okay? But look at everything. Yeah, it's the extremes. Look at everything. Okay? And the problem is... Thank you.
Neil Marco, Third Rock from the Sun. I have specific objections about the report, but I don't, as you said, I don't want to talk about that. I have objections about the report's structure and its format and the way that it was delivered. That's a different thing. But from a member of the community, I think one thing that seems to be glossed over in the report, all right, and it's a common thing, is there's a lot of conversation, a lot of verbiage about costs, but there's very little in there about benefit, about service delivery, mm-hmm. and essentially, the other thing about it that's there is a conclusion, a recommendation, and there's this appearance, you may disagree with it, of a lack of transparency in the process, because basically there's the appearance of bias of some of the individuals, true or not, I don't know, all right? And that's really the issue. And it's all compounded when we say, or when you say, you want to rush this thing through so that all the discussion can be terminated by August 19th so that you can get it onto. So my personal opinion, I want the best for the first aid squad, all right? I also don't want to pay any more in taxes, but I want somebody to the most critical thing for me as a resident of this town mm-hmm. is that if I call the fire department, that they show up. Mm-hmm. And I think that the one time I've called them, Millstone showed up, mm-hmm. not Roosevelt. However, actually, Roosevelt did show up later on.
Yes, they did show up later on, and they do that from time to time. And as long as they are around, Millstone will show up for free. The moment we contract with Millstone, they will no longer show up for free. Okay. What I'm having a problem with, and Neil, I'm actually surprised you would say this, a lack of transparency. Okay? This whole process was started, the first discussion we ever had internally was, how do we make this transparent? We put it on the web. We made every meeting available. Open to the public. We made sure that the meetings were announced. Okay? Anybody could walk in at any time. Every document that was delivered by an engineer that talked about cost or whatever it was that we got in writing immediately as possible went up on the web. Tapes of every meeting. If you want to listen to the meeting, you can go on online and click and say, I want to listen to the third meeting. I don't know how you get much more transparent than that, other than going to everybody's house and saying it's 7 o'clock on a Sunday, which is when these poor people met, you need to come down to the Borough Hall and listen whether you like it or not. I don't know how else to make it more transparent.
I'll tell you, and that goes to my first point, okay?
For the note-taking.
My first point, all right, that I picked up the report. Mm-hmm. I had a PDF of the report, okay? And the report just stated a whole bunch of information that without saying who said what. What professional? When we would want to build in this borough a new facility, okay, mm-hmm. you would contract the engineer, say you wanted to build a new water tower, and the engineer would prepare for you a report as to what would have to happen.
And all of those reports are online.
Yeah, but that engineer would tell you their recommendation mm-hmm. and put that stamp with that professional engineer on it and their credentials. I see nothing in this piece of paper that was sitting there that says that. Zip.
No,
zero.
But you will see, if you had come to the meetings, you would see that each person on that committee had a notebook that was this thick. It had every design, every report, every piece of paper. If you want to say that you don't like the conclusion,
well, I'm not going to bring that up now,
okay,
because that's for a subsequent meeting.
Okay, my point is,
meeting.
If you want to say that you don't like the conclusion, that's a fair assessment. If you want to say, I don't like any of the options in here, that's a fair assessment. If you say, I want to read what Bob has to say, I want to look at some other option, all of that is fine. If you say, I don't like the way it was written, that's fine.
Well, I'm
but to say that the process was not transparent, I think is
the
report
unfair. Is not transparent.
Okay. It's not fair to the people who are on that committee, whether you're talking about Mr. Clark, whether you're talking about the people here, everybody on that committee, everybody on the council and Mr. Clark, I believe, went to great lengths to make sure that all of that information was distributed.
All right. Allow me to rephrase my statement.
Please.
Okay? It's completely opaque as to how these assessments yield the recommendation that they make.
Okay.
And I think that makes people very, very, very uncomfortable.
We can certainly download all of the information and make available a notebook, the same notebook that was used by every member of the committee.
No, write a comprehensive report that says, this professional said this, this professional said that, here are what we need in the borough, there's obviously quite a nice substantial financial analysis, or at least according to what you say, I have no reason to doubt it, that there's engineers who assess what the actual costs will be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, write a report like an engineer, all right, or an accountant
would write a report so that people can look at it and say, you know, okay, here's an expert who says to do this. It's not just somebody's feeling that they want to ride in a truck with flashing lights. That's, you know, that's how you do it, and that's how you build confidence with people. I think everybody, I can't speak for everybody,
you
I would
lost
hope
your connection,
that
by the way, just
oh.
All right. I would think that the vast majority of people would recognize.
Excuse me, just give me 1 second here. Get her back in. I was looking for, but I screwed up.
Oh.
That would clearly make the most sense. Hello, Councilwoman. How are you?
I'm fine. I lost the connection just moments ago, but I heard everything else.
Okay, Mayor Marco is speaking at the moment.
Okay.
Just let's cut this short, and I'll just basically say this. I would like to speak for myself, but I hope I'm speaking for the majority of the residents when we say that what we want is a safe, secure town, and we all know that that costs money. All right. You know, and we all know that in the future it may cost a lot of money, and it may actually even be true that building a building is the preferred solution. But it's necessary for the council to present that information in a way that a reasonable person can read the report and come to that conclusion. I don't think that the raw material may be there, Jeff, but the way that the report was structured and came out, and I do have comments about what's in there, but I'll, for another time, it does not present the information that way at all. So I would just want to say that I don't think anybody really doesn't want to have fire protection. They just want the best bang for their dollar, and that's not presented as being clear in there.
If I might, because I keep hearing the same phrase over and over again, which is that the council is presenting this report. This is a report presented to the council. We distributed it because we wanted to make sure that everybody saw it. This is a report that we received this weekend, which we will now consider. We didn't write it. We're not presenting it to the public. It has been presented to us, and we will start the process of reviewing it on Thursday. So I just want to make clear that we're...
That's why I said for now or future consideration. Consider rejecting it until it presents information in a way that a reasonable person can come to conclusions, either the same to what's in there or alternatives.
Thank you.
I have a request, actually. Is it possible to have representatives from Millstone Fire Company? I know you were all at a meeting. I keep hearing about the meeting.
A meeting.
But there's no tape of that meeting. Could we come and speak to the council and the public?
Let
me just finish. We've heard many conflicting numbers about what they would charge us, how they would charge us, if they would charge us. I would love to have the Millstone Fire officials come to a meeting and tell us exactly what it would cost if we have no fire department, if we do have a fire department with the new building. I would like to hear from them directly.
They have no idea.
You just told me all that. You just mentioned all that money before. They must have some idea.
No, what I said was, in response to business advice, what I said was, we didn't make the opening offer. They have made their opening offer. 11 cents per 100, 11 cents per $100 valuation. That is the district cost. That is the cost they want to charge us.
I heard that Englishtown pays much less than that to Millstone.
Englishtown.
That's
I would
like them, rather than hear it from a meeting which none of us were privy to, I would love to have Millstone come here and speak to us.
And what they will tell you is...
I would like to hear it from them, not from what you
said.
Okay,
I understand that. May I respond?
Yeah.
Okay. What they have said consistently is their position has been 11 cents for $100 of assessed valuation, and to charge us less would be an issue. We made them a counteroffer of $30,000 a year with escalators and certain additional rights following the standard form of contract used by Interlaken.
Yeah, I understand all that.
No,
I'm
just finishing
asking
my sentence,
if they could
please.
Come.
Can I finish?
You can talk a moment. Go ahead.
Thank you. In the fifth discussion that I had with them, they have made it clear that they are interested in meeting with some legislators to see if those legislators would come up with some benefit to us and to them to have a combined system. Other than that, they are not willing to name any price, amount, terms, conditions, whatever. They want to have that meeting. I'm setting that meeting up, and if they come in, they will tell you, basically, we're not going to tell you anything yet.
Well, I thought you just said $30,000.
$30,000 is what we proposed to them in a term sheet. We went to them and said, you would otherwise charge us $94,800. We said $30,000 is a much more reasonable amount for a town of this size, number one, for the number of calls that we believe you would have to make here, number two, and for our ability to pay, number three. And because, by the way, we provided you with ambulance services, majority of your ambulance services for the last several years, their response was, this is all in report, written reports, by the way, which are available online and were made in the meetings. But of that, we also suggested that we had provided a lot of first aid service to them. Their response was, we are the fire district, we are not the borough of Millstone, or the township of Millstone, hence, as much as we appreciate it, the fact that you have provided us with emergency services, emergency medical services, is not going to go into our calculation. So right now we are basically at 30,000 versus 94,800 until we meet with some legislators. If the legislators promise them that they will get some kind of benefit, they may come down. If the legislators say no, then they're probably going to stay where they are because they would otherwise have to explain to their townspeople why it is they're charging them 11 cents per hundred evaluation, assessed valuation versus us when they are elected officials. That is where we stand at the moment.
I would just like to hear it from them. That's all.
I know you
like
would.
To hear. Well,
yes,
what does that mean? I would like, can we ask them to come? Can we invite them to come and make a presentation?
I will invite them to come and make a presentation.
Or have us ask them questions?
What would you like the presentation to be about?
Everything you just said, what the issues are involved with them covering us. And we can ask questions.
I will ask them if they would like to come.
You were asking, just a quick note in terms of what Neil Marco said about the report. When you mentioned that we have all these engineers and architects and their conclusions, and everybody is, they're available to everybody, and then this was written by the advisory committee, how are we supposed to extrapolate as laymen what these people are saying and how it applies to the decisions that, or the descriptions of all the different options? And I think what he was saying was that each one of these things should be footnoted as to who, like a term paper, something that, you know, where it's, you can make a reference to why they came to that conclusion. Because it's very subjective. At this point, it's very subjective by the committee. Not necessarily based at all on facts. We can't tell.
And if you expect all of us to read through these, this many reports, not to say that we don't expect that you have, it's just too hard to make the connection to this and what these other guys have said.
Would you like us to ask the committee to come in? I mean, I don't know what their schedules are, whatever, if you want to ask them questions.
But I think this should be rewritten, because...
Okay, but I am somewhat hesitant to go back to a group of people who have put in an incredible number of hours over the last 6 months and say, you know what, I don't like the way you wrote this, rewrite
it. It's not a personal thing. It's not personal. That what we're asking is not something like disrespecting
personal.
The fact that they put in a lot of time.
Honey, I'm sorry. I'm not saying that that you were being disrespectful.
Right.
What I said was that I'm sort of hesitant to come back and say, you know, you put in all this work, but you rewrite the thing.
They don't have to rewrite it. Maybe they can just make a notation.
You just said Alan put it together,
right.
So you can ask Alan to footnote.
I'll be glad to
where
sit down
the
with Alan.
Where the conclusions were drawn from.
Right.
Okay.
I'll ask Alan to footnote it.
Mr. Clark.
I'm Bob Clark from Lake Drive. I was at the meeting, and I don't know that I was at all meetings with Millstone, but the one that I attended, Millstone representatives seemed to have a very open mind as to what they would be willing to do for Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. They certainly, like we were, aware of the fact that if we joined their fire district, the cost might be cost prohibitive. And however, they didn't put that on the table as a negotiating offer. They just expressed their awareness of that, as we were aware of it. I think it was inauspicious for Roosevelt to then counter with a $30,000 figure, which actually turns out to be the cutoff figure for comparisons, because it essentially loaded into the process a figure that would eventually allow the majority of the committee to come to the conclusion that it ought to do a four-bay building. And I think that at that meeting, I recall a representative of Millstone saying, you know, getting out his cell phone and contacting somebody and coming back and saying that Manalapan was paying to Englishtown $5,000 a year in order to have Englishtown cover a section of Manalapan for fire service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that Millstone has its mind very much open to options that would be less than $30,000. I think it was inauspicious for the $30,000 to have been put on the table at that meeting.
I will agree, Bob, with everything that you said about their openness, they're willing to have discussions. In their further conversations, they did say that they were open. When we left the meeting, I said, so where are we? And they said, we're still at 11 cents per hundred, as you will remember. I will also point out that while I'm willing to take my hits, we had a pre-meeting with three of us from the negotiating team in which you were at attendance, in which my notes say that we all agreed that $30,000 is where we were going to start. So, you know, When I'm involved in it, I'm willing to take the hit. But please don't stand up there and say you had no idea. I'll pull out the notes if you'd like.
I just haven't felt the love from the majority of the committee. But it seemed to me that that was the figure that was going to be put on the table, whether I liked it or not.
Okay, so let's see. Who was at that meeting? You, me, Jill, and Michael. Which one of us beat you up?
Don't get into that.
Okay.
I
don't want to get into it either. Other comments from the public? Yes, Jeff.
Just one last thing. I mean, I'm only a 4 or 5 year resident of this community, and it feels like dealing with the council is like talking to lawyers instead of talking to people that I want to take care of me. I don't get a warm and fuzzy feeling from you guys. I feel like this is all lawyers speak. I think what Neil was saying was quite proper about, you know, we're a town, we should all love each other, we should all take care of each other, you know, and for the most part I've seen that we do. This has become this whole concept of the animosity between the yeses and the noes has become, like, really rude. I mean, in the long run, and you're the leader, I would hope that you would want to lead us away from this sort of silliness. All right. We should all go home and watch what's left of the convention.
I can tell you how it turned out.
Who won? Who won?
Move to adjourn.
Is there anything else from the... I think we have to close the public portion first. Are there any other comments from the...
I'm just a little concerned. I'm late to the party.
Can you come up
it.
To the microphone?
Yes.
On the microphone, please.
Yes. I'm doing a darn
Harry
good job.
Harry Parker, Oscar Drive. And I was on your side of the table many years ago, so I understand your acrimony and... Well, this isn't too bad, really, yet. But I'm just a little surprised at how much I see so quickly. And I understand you've been working for a period of time, and I understand it's all online, but I haven't looked at it. I haven't seen it. And I'm trying to digest it currently, and I'm very concerned of what I see. I can't quickly digest what I'm seeing. I can't quickly decide. There's a lot of options here. 8 options, yes. It's dramatic, it's all over the place, but it's not really a question. It's something you have to discuss and come up with what your 3 options, 4 options, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't get a feeling for what it is that you really want, and I don't know that you know what you really want. I'm just concerned from everything I've seen tonight. That's all.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And I really was trying to avoid a discussion of it tonight because none of us has had time to actually read it in full and digest it.
You shouldn't have put it on the agenda.
I want it on the agenda so that everybody knew. I put it on the agenda so that everybody knew that we had it, that it was available, that they could look at it, and that it would be coming up.
Well, the minority report isn't.
So you're not going to have a motion to accept it?
No, we're not doing anything tonight with the report. Sure, we're going to have a meeting starting on Thursday to start talking about what's in here and what our other options are.
A council meeting?
Yeah.
Special meeting?
Yes. Published.
We have to make a motion to accept this report. Not tonight.
We're not
no.
doing anything tonight.
No.
Or at least we were trying not to do anything. Written, verbal. I mean, there's not one, let's be clear. There's not one meeting. Okay, we got this report about the same time you got it a day later than we got it. Okay, we have to go through the report. We have to discuss. Certainly, we're going to not reject the report. We'll accept it. We may not like it, or you know, we may come back and say, could you make changes? But we're not going to throw it in the trash. Okay. We're going to look at what was proposed. We will listen if somebody has something else that they want considered. And at some point, we're going to have to figure out what to do about these facilities, about these services. We got to do something. So we got to figure it out. This gives us a basis, good basis to start. At least we know what the various costs are. And we, you know, go from there. But if we're going to put it in an election and not try to push it off to the next council, then we need to move apace. And since people have spent 6 months on it, and many of them are people that I admire and whose intelligence I respect, whether I agree with them or not, I'm inclined to you're right?
Fine.
Okay. To read it carefully and consider what it says as well as other comments. So, no, there's not one meeting that's coming up. There's a series of meetings that will come up to talk about this. And they are all published, so they will be public meetings. Anybody can walk in and participate in the meeting.
Do you have extra copies of this?
No, that was just distributed. It is every weekday at 7 o'clock, every Saturday at 3 o'clock, and Sundays are not listed between now and the 18th. We had to do the publication so that as we sequence the meetings, they've been properly noticed, and we will put up notices on the bulletin board as well and say, and on Facebook, et cetera, saying, okay, a group of people are meeting tonight. So if there are three of us, we don't need the notice, but we have it. If one more person shows up and we're in the open public meetings, we will have complied with the law. So I want everybody to be able to come in and discuss.
From Alpine Drive, will the meeting notices be on the email list from Town Hall?
Well, they're all the same.
But, you know, some of us get emails so that we know when there are meetings and what the meetings are and whatnot.
As opposed to Facebook, et cetera? Yeah,
I don't do
that.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't deal with stuff like that. Sorry.
Sure. Okay. No, I don't either, but apparently we got them.
I'll make one comment.
Sure.
The thrust of what this is about is the referendum last year showed that there was a deadlock as to one thing that was proposed, okay?
It wasn't a deadlock.
We could not go forward because there was equal votes on both sides, okay?
No, Michael, someone asked you, suppose the yeses win by one vote, what does that mean? And you said it passes.
Right,
so
it
when it
pass.
Lost by one,
that's correct.
That's what passed.
That's correct. My point is that we could not go forward on that basis. So the question is,
I think if there had been a yes, you would have.
Excuse me.
Gone
May I finish, please?
Please let him finish.
May I finish my sentence, please?
Finish.
Thank you. My
please
point is simply, we have to find out what people are prepared to support. That's what it comes down to. Is there a way of finding out? Maybe people will not support anything. I don't know what we do then. Is there something that people will support? And we'll find out. That's the whole point of this. That's all that is.
Councilwoman Malkin, did you have something you wanted to say?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Good night, Jill.